Christmas is a fun time, and it is a little interesting, the traditions that we have, isn't it? We're talking, if you've been with us, we're in the middle of a series called The Light of Christmas, and I'm going to get into that in a moment, but I don't know how many of you guys have some different traditions. I know as coming from a Polish family, you know, it's pretty much confusing what our traditions are, but one of the traditions that we have, some of you got that, one of the traditions we have are ornaments that we make. So you make an ornament, and then you bring it to the family dinner, and then we all share with like almost like a white elephant, or what do they call it, Dirty Santa or all that. So you have like, you open it up, and it's like, you know, my daughter made it, that's 3 years old, and it's like a bunch of pine cones with a little smiley face on it, and they're like, well, I better get the thing that's better, that was whittled. So it kind of, it's one of our family traditions and lights. I've made it my, I told my wife this year, I'm not doing lights on the house anymore. Can I get an amen? So what I did was I put lights on the inside of a window so it looked like I had some lights. And Pastor Jeff just throws a wreath up and he says he's done. So that's what I'm aiming for. I'm trying to go that direction. I see these big things that people put up in their yards. You've seen these, right? They have them on sale right now at Lowe's, and I thought to myself, man, a giant snowman, or they had a giant elf from the movie Elf, Buddy the Elf. I'm like, man, all I have to do is stick that in, you know, plug it in, tie it down, and I'm good. So that's why I'm, that's my goals anyway. But we've been in the middle of a series, obviously, for the Christmas season in Advent, and we've been lighting these candles each week. If you're with us the first week, Pastor Jeff spoke to us, and this first light here represents that God's light is for everyone. That it's not just for one specific group of people or one person, but God shines his light on every person, everyone. And it's our choice whether we want to walk in that or not. He's shining into the darkness. Now, the second one, if you remember Zechariah, and that's what he was speaking of, that second light indicates that God shines his light in the personal dark spaces of our hearts. Amen. Can I get an amen? What a good thing that it's not just a general thing, but it's also a very personal thing for us. And last week, Pastor Jeff spoke to us that in order to walk in the light, there we go, fire. In order to walk in the light, we need to have some faith, some trust. We need to be able to trust in him so that we can walk in his light. And today, what I'd like to talk to you with this fourth candle is if we want to walk in his light, in order to do so, we are going to need obedience. Obedience. Now, some of you just heard that word and cringed. Oh, I don't like hearing that word. And I don't know if it's you or maybe it's just me, but do any of you just have a really hard time obeying the speed limit? Anybody? Some of you leadfoots, I know you. I've ridden with you. It's 55, but you got to push it to 60, and you're always trying to find that line. I asked Jimmy what the line was, and he said it depends on where you're at. So obviously, if you're on the highway, if you're going like 10, 11, you're good. 11 over, right? 65, you do 75, you're okay. But if you're doing like, you know, 45 and a 35 in town here, you're in trouble. So, you know, what I do anyway is I try to obey the speed limit here in the town and just set the cruise control. But obeying is difficult. Obeying a diet is difficult. Oh, maybe it's just me. It's been hard, as you can tell. It's been a difficult thing. It doesn't come naturally for us to want to obey our boss or obey the rules of a job or obey this, that, and the other. In fact, I would say it comes more naturally that we want to rebel against such things. Obedience is not something that we actually like to do, but it is challenging and it is necessary if we're going to walk in his light. Now, I'm going to get into a little bit more about that, but if you have your Bibles with you, if you'll turn with me to Matthew chapter 2, verse 1, we're going to read that, and then after that we're going to go to Luke. But for now, Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. We're going to read 1 through 11. I'm reading out the NIV this morning. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem. You probably know of them as wise men or the three kings. I don't know if there's three of them, but we go with that. In verse 2, and he asked, where is the one who was born the King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose, and we came to worship him. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, all of Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. In Bethlehem, in Judea, they replied. For this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people of Israel. Verse 7. Then Herod called the Magi secretively and found out from them the exact time that the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go search for him carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report him to me so that I may go worship him. He's lying, by the way, if you didn't know that. He's not going to worship him. He's going to try to kill him. Verse 9, after they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star that they had seen rose, went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, the child was with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. I think I'd like to have gold. I don't know about the other two, but I'd like to have gold. Now, if you will, I told you we're going to go to Luke, and I want to do that right now. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. This is the story of the shepherds. Matthew, Mark, Luke. So you just flip over there and you'll find it. Unless you got a Bible app, then you just click Luke. Chapter 2, verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you that you will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest in heaven, and on earth, peace to those whom favor rests. Man, imagine that for a moment. You're just hanging out with your boys, watching your sheep. Angel comes. He scares everything out of you. And now that he brings all his buddies, and now they're all praising God. That's just insane. So verse 15, when the angels had left him into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see the thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who were lying in a manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told about this child. And those who heard it were amazed about what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had seen, which were just as they were told. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Now, there are two things. We just read two incredible examples of obedience, but I have, because of these things, what do we know about the shepherds? What we just read some stuff on there. What do we know about the wise men? We know that they were obedient, right? But what exactly was the obedience? Well, what did they have to be able to go forth and do this? What can we read out of those two different stories of men joining together and going to see the Messiah? What is it about their obedience that we can take for our own selves? What is it that we can model after their obedience? Number one, if you're taking notes, their obedience was corporate. Now, corporate meaning that both the shepherds and the wise men, the shepherds all went together, and the wise men all went together. They didn't do it on their own. Now, listen, the shepherds said, if you remember, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that's happened, that he's told us about. Let's go together. Have you ever noticed that it's really easy? It's a lot easier. It's not easy, but it's a lot easier to obey a diet when you got other people doing the diet with you. If you're just going Lone Ranger, like, I'm going to make the best, you know, I'm going to not eat sugar, and I'm going to try to cut carbs. But guess what? If my wife isn't on board with me, it's going to be really hard She's going to be eating, like, you know, eating, "Oh, would you like some ice cream?" "I can't. I'm on a diet." Well, because we're separated at that point, right? If you're doing a diet, it's easier to be. There's groups on Facebook. I love these groups because they get together and people and friends and things like that. They're sharing with each other recipes. They're sharing with each other ideas. They're encouraging one another. They're doing all these different things to try to keep each other on track and obeying the diet, and it's a lot easier. Now, it's the same thing when we're walking in the light of Christ, that we need people around us. That we don't just show up, you know, once in a while to church and kind of sing a couple songs and go out, but we get involved into a corporate community where we're saying, together, we're in this thing. Together, I need you, you need me, and we're moving towards one destination, which is God's will, what God wants for our lives. The obedience is easier when you're together. If you've been struggling with trying to follow through God's what God has for you, it might be because you don't have the right people around you. As we know, the Bible says that, what is it? Bad company corrupts good character. So think about it this way. If you're hanging out with, you're wanting to be on a diet, you're trying to eat well, and you're hanging out with people who eat junk food 24/7, it's going to be hard for you to maintain a healthy diet. The same is with a spiritual diet. If we're constantly around people who do not love the Lord or know the Lord or is against the Lord, it's going to be incredibly hard to be built up, encouraged to maintain obedience with God. I love how the shepherds said, "Let's go," like together, "let's do this thing." They're not saying, "Hey, will you please, I'm going to go, would you come?" No, they're like united in this. And it reminds me of a road trip. Now, these wise men have been in this thing together. We know that. These three wise men that went, I was talking about the shepherds, but with the wise men, some have said that it's very good possibility about 400 miles that they've traveled. And I did the homework to see how long that would take. That's like from here to Richmond, Virginia. Now, if you're going to walk that, following a star, mind you, okay, no GPS, no Siri, it's just, there's no Uber you can take for a little break. You're walking this thing with your buddies, right? You need them. 137 hours of walking. But you have to sleep, you have to eat, you have to follow a star, which who knows if it's like, think about if it's cloudy, it's going to be a problem. Can't see the star when it's cloudy. I guess we're taking a break. So it's taking time. And this reminds me of when I'm on road trips with my children. And we're not all together in the thing. I know where I want to get to at, you know, when I want to get there. My wife wants to get there too. But the problem is, I got three little ones in the back seat, and one of them is very strong-willed, and she's always asking this question: "Are we there yet? I'm hungry. I got to go potty. I got to do this." It makes you want to quit the journey. It makes you not want to do the road trip anymore. You're like, "I'm done with this." And I know, I realized we got the, you know, we got a DVD player in there. They got iPads, and that's, let's be honest, that's great. That keeps them occupied for a while. But when you're divided and you don't have people thinking the same way, it makes it incredibly hard because we need each other. Just as the wise men needed each other, just as the shepherds needed each other, we need each other. Now, I do want to say that doesn't mean that God's going to call you to do something alone. Sometimes you have to be alone. But can I say you still don't have to be alone? You could do it alone, but you're still with the corporate together as a family. God might ask you to go do something. He may call you to a specific obedience that he's not calling other people to, maybe to give up something for a while. Whatever it is, you obey, but you still are plugged in. You don't just go rogue and say, I don't need anybody. We need each other. That brings up number two. Their obedience was immediate. Immediate. Notice that what the shepherds said, they said it here, they said they hurried off. In some translations, it says immediately they left. Now, these shepherds had the perfect excuse for not going. They got a job to do. They got sheep to watch, right? "Oh, I can't go. I mean, we're supposed to be watching these sheep. What happens if a bear comes or a wolf? Thanks, Angel. Thanks for telling us the news. But we're pretty busy right now. You know, we got a job to do." the angel was cool, but, you know. Now listen, it was immediately. Now some of us in this room, how many of you like to be spontaneous? That just comes naturally. My mother is not raising her hand because that is not her. My father is. I probably shared this story, but my father's so spontaneous that it really, my whole life, it was just spontaneous. It was awesome. But I want to share with you a story that you probably heard before, but I'm going to tell you again because it works. So we're watching TV one night. My mom had went to bed, and it was my father and I sitting in the living room. And my father says, as we're watching, there was a Toronto Zoo, the commercial that came up. Come to Toronto Zoo. You know, I had the bears and the lions and tigers. Oh my! And it was like, wow, that's awesome, Dad. I want to go there. And he looked at me, goes, let's go. Like right now? Yep. He gets out of his chair. He starts walking towards the door. I'm like, well, shouldn't we pack? Like, it's, you know, it's 10 o'clock at night. He goes, no, let's just go, man. Let's go right now. Well, we hop in the car, and I'm thinking this has got to be a joke, right? No, we back out of the driveway. We're going down Stinson Road. And the whole time I'm like, Dad, I mean, what about, like, clothes? He's like, we'll just turn our underwear inside out. Okay. You did. You did say it. So then we're driving and we go down Chafee Road and he's like, I'm like, well, what are we going to do with food? He's like, I got a credit card. I'm like, where are we going to stay? He's like, we can either stay here in the truck or we can get a hotel. So I'm like, you know, my fears of this being fake are suddenly leaving, you know, and we get, you know, they live up in Stinson Road and Arcade, and we get all the way down to Javis Center and we're cruising down the road. And I'm starting to get comfortable, you know. Turn on the radio. We get to Hogan's. You guys know where Hogan's is? All of a sudden, he turns the wheel and goes, I was just kidding. But the point is that there was a... some of us like that spontaneous. We just jump on it. But the truth is, and the reason why he pulled over, is somewhere deep inside of us, that immediate obedience is tough when we think of what we have to do and the plans that we have to make and what that would mean about work. That's why we plan vacations, that we like to things to be in our time when we want to do them, when it works well with the things that we have going on, where we're not thinking about what God is asking us to do. I delay some things in my life. I have a really hard time with projects that I don't know what I'm doing. And it's pretty much the reason why I have a snowblower in pieces still in my garage. Now, that snowblower broke last winter. Yeah. And when it broke, I called Dan Hoffman, and he bailed me out for, you know, the rest of the winter. And I said to my wife, when it gets warm out in the spring, I'm going to fix that snowblower. And then in the spring, I said, well, when it's summer, I'll fix it. And then in the summer, I said, it's too hot. I'll fix it in the fall right between. And it's still in pieces in my garage. See, we like to delay things. We like to put things off. But that's not how it works with God. When he calls you to do something, when he calls us to do something, we need to go. We need to do it. We get too busy with other things, especially around this Christmas season, that we're so busy, so wondering, well, I got to do this, this, and this. And sometimes God's telling you just to stop and listen to his voice. It doesn't have to be this grand thing. Sometimes it's really simple. Maybe God's telling you, I'm not going to call this person out, but I'm going to tell you what this person told me, that God called this person to pray at a family dinner. And this person does not want to pray at this family dinner because nobody else is really Christian in this family dinner. Those are the moments when he told me that. That's because what happens in your heart is you hear the Lord saying it and you have to be obedient and prompt. You have to do it immediately when God says, not say next Christmas I will, well, maybe Easter I will. No, when God's calling us to do things, we need to do them immediately. That's faith in actions, because if we wait too long, sometimes that boat sails off. The opportunity for you to reach somebody might sail off if you don't do it when God tells you to. Not when man tells you or when God is telling you, you know the difference. Hear his voice and do what he says immediately. That's what we're trying to do. Amen? Okay, number 3, their obedience was persistent.
I love that. Persistent. See, the Magi, they had this star to follow, right? They said, we saw a star. They went and did this. And as we read, they went to Herod, and they asked him if he knew about this baby. They had the exact details to follow. Follow the star. The star's going to follow. You're going to get there. But the shepherds, now listen, the shepherds were just told that there was a baby lying in a manger. That's all that they were told. It wasn't like they had a specific place to go to. They didn't have like a Google Maps, like, here's the steps you take, turn left here, turn right here. Now, I started thinking about this. I started picturing these shepherds. Okay, let's go, right? Immediate, they're doing it. Where do we go? Well, let's just start knocking on some doors. So can you imagine with me for a moment? It's late at night and you hear, hey, you open the door and some dirty shepherd, you know, with his buddies, and they look a little, they hang out with sheep all day, so you tell me what they look like, I don't know. But I'm picturing like some guys with dreadlocks and like really long straggly beards and haven't washed themselves in a long time. And what do they ask you? They say, do you have a baby here? Maybe why? Is your baby in a feeding trough? Okay, I'm calling the cops. And then the Bethlehem PD shows up and says, hey, listen, we've been having a little bit of issues. We heard you're knocking and disturbing the peace, asking them if their child is in a food dish for an animal. What's your problem? We're looking for the Messiah. Okay, yeah, Messiah, right. Sure, that sounds good. Yeah, no, he's going to be in a feeding trough. Can you just imagine with me? It's not easy. They were persistent, knocking on door after door after door, looking, where is this baby in a manger? Where is he? We need to find him. These men had obviously gone through some adversity and some challenges. The Magi following a star, and I'm sure a lot of doubt probably surfaced while they're sitting there and they knock on the first door and they got the confidence. And then they knock and they knock and they keep looking and keep trying. Or the wise men come and they ask the dude who's in charge and he seems shady. Herod is like, I don't know if that's the guy, and he didn't even know anything about it. But they were persistent and they kept trying. And it shows us just because God's called us to do something, it doesn't always mean that it's going to be easy. I've had this countless times in my own life and hearing from others. When God calls you to do something, you think, well, that's going to be awesome. And then you get halfway through it, and you're like, I don't know if I want to do this anymore. There's issues that come up in our lives. It's hard to walk through sometimes what God has called you to do. It's hard to minister to your family. It's hard to pray for somebody who needs it. But this is exactly what God's calling us to do, to walk in obedience. We must be persistent. We must keep fighting and keep challenging ourselves to do what God has called us to do. You know, I keep going back to the diet thing because it's in the back of my mind, and I know that January is coming soon. So, but I think of Jamie Gasper, who just went through an awesome surgery, and he just lost another 30 pounds since the surgery. Congratulations. And I think of him, and I think some of you guys with health issues and some of the things that you're going through, it can become incredibly, incredibly challenging for us to be persistent in our obedience. It can become incredibly difficult to be persistent in our obedience when you're mourning the loss of a child or the loss of a loved one. That's where it gets really hard to be persistent. Persistence is saying that even though this is difficult, I'm still going to try. I'm still going to try. I'm not, when I get knocked down, I'm going to get up again. Never going to get me down, whatever that song is. Smash Mouth. Now, I can think about when I was pursuing my wife. Now, listen, I'd be lying to you if I said that I didn't pursue any other girl in the world, okay? I did. But with Jess, it was a persistence that was like probably annoying to her at some points. Is she here or is she downstairs? Sweet, she's downstairs. Okay. So I'll tell you this story. We were dating, and we had just started dating in Myrtle Beach, and she had left and went to Furman University, which was 4 hours away. And Furman's for smart people, and then she's dating me. Hey. And before she had left, she told me, she said, Josh, I don't think this is going to work out. I think that, you know, it's too long of a distance. It's going to be too hard. You know, I don't think. And she kept saying all this stuff. And all I was hearing is, yeah, we can do that. We can do that. We can do that. So I spent, literally, we spent 4.5 hours at the apartment that I was staying in just talking this thing through. And I told her, I asked her this question. If you feel like God has called you to be with me, we can do it. But if not, you know, let's end this thing. That's how it ended. And she was like, I do, I'm just scared, blah, 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 blah. And here's the thing. I got the girl, right? We've been married now for 11 years, and May will be 12. God is good, but listen, it's because I was persistent. If I just said, okay, well, this stinks, see you later. You know, it wouldn't have worked. If I, well, that stinks, I guess I'll just go find somebody else. No, I knew that God was calling me to her, and I knew that she had been called to me, and I wanted to fight for her. But we need that same kind of tenacity for what God's calling us to do things, that we don't just go, well, I can't do that. I can't build the Grace Dance Studio downtown. I can't do it. No, they did. They fought through it. You got to do what God's calling you to do, even if it's scary and all the things come in line. You just follow through what God tells you to do. You don't look back. You walk forward and you do as he's asking you to do. Now, the fourth thing, because a lot of these things, listen, these sound really hard. They sound really hard, and there's a reason for that. Number four, their obedience was a result of love. Their obedience was a result of love. The only reason, listen, this is why when you hear the word obedience, and I've said it a lot, you're hearing that word, and a lot of us kind of get all queasy on the inside. Well, I don't like that. Because what you're picturing is you're picturing like a dog, or at least myself, that is being told by his master, heel, sit, do what I tell you. And we call that obedience, right? Well, he's an obedient dog because he sat and shook my hand. That's not obedience, really. That's not what obedience that God's calling us to do. That's not who God is. That's not how God operates. Now, he doesn't want obedience done out of obligation, because that's not obedience. That's just doing what, you know, just doing it. He's looking for obedience that's a result of love. Now, John 14:15 says this, if you love me, keep my commandments. And a lot of times I've read that over the years and thought to myself, this is God saying, you love me, man? Show it. Prove it. That's how I've interpreted that for the majority of my life. And it just recently became obvious as I'm reading that. He's not saying that at all. He's saying the natural thing out of love is obedience. You'll know you love me when you start just doing as I ask you to do. It's like if you have a spouse, you know, listen, we know, it's not like you say, if you love me, you won't cheat on me, so prove it. And then you go to your wife and you're like, see, I didn't cheat on you. I could have. I wanted to, but I didn't. That's not faithfulness. That's not, listen, when you love your spouse, you remain faithful because you love them. You're looking for ways to say, how can I be a blessing? How can I honor? How can I do and make them happy? Not because you're insecure. It's because you're secure with your spouse, that you love your spouse, not because you're obligated to be doing as you're told. In a little bit, we're going to be doing a dedication, and we're going to be doing this, where are they at? Francine and Nicholas Major and Dorothy, are they here? Oh, there they are, back there. We're going to be doing it, and I'm going to say this to all these people as I'm going to say to you later. What they're doing with their children, what they're doing with Dorothy, and they're going to be dedicating this child, it's not because they're doing it because they have to. They're doing it out of a love and obedience. So many times I look at this and I wonder to myself, how come we look at God as if he's like demanding and like, it's almost like we look at him sometimes, even though we don't want to, we look at him as like a bad father. And I know for some of you, you've been here before and you've been in these places and you've thought to yourself that I just got to prove it to God. I just got to prove it. Can I say this? Once you realize and you fully submit yourself to God's love for you, you will naturally start obeying and loving him. Not out of because it's a religious thing and you're trying to set a follow a bunch of rules, but you're doing it because you love him because he loved you first. When we look at these shepherds, when we look at these wise men who walked together, who did it immediately, that they were persistent, it's only possible to do those things because they had a love for God. It's only possible to stay the course, to do it immediately, if you truly love God. So don't try, listen, don't leave this place today and think, I just got to obey more. I got to obey more. Please, if you're hearing that, that's not what I'm saying. You just got to love God more. You just got to find and go deep into the love that God has for you, deep into the Father's love that knows that no matter what I do, if I obey or not, he loves me unconditionally. And when that really becomes so real in your heart, you won't want to disobey. Not out of fear, not out of guilt. You just won't want to because you're so madly in love with him. And that's my prayer for myself and for all of us here this morning, is that we would just grasp the love of God, that we would grasp that, and that we would be able to return and usher out just out of us naturally obedience. Will you stand with me this morning? You don't have to. If you're not able to, don't feel like you have to. That's not a command. I just wonder if you bow your heads with me. I want to pray for you and for myself. Listen, this isn't just Josh Whippy and the pastors all here. We got everything together. We don't. We really don't. The one thing that we all should be striving towards together is loving our Savior, loving him. That excitement that came from the wise men when they saw the star, that excitement that came to obey, there was an excitement level for these guys to go and find the Messiah, to bow down and to worship him. The truth is, they weren't even looking at it as obedience. They were just looking at it as, I want to see God. Some of you this morning, you need to just seek him. You need to be persistent. You need to knock on that door, and here's the beautiful thing. They got their reward. They got their reward. The wise men found him. The shepherds found him. If you're here this morning and you are in the depths of despair, can I say, if you want to walk in this light, this white light of obedience and love and truth, walk into the light. I'm telling you today, you will not be disappointed. That doesn't mean that it's going to be perfect all the rest of your life. That doesn't mean that everything's going to go perfectly and there's going to be no issues and no storms. It just means that God is with you. And he loves you, and you have now a foundation of your life that is rooted in just his love for you. Some of you this morning, you just got to accept him into your heart. You just, it's really simple. You say, I messed up, God. I don't have it all together. I've sinned. I need you in my life. I need you, Father. I need you. You're the perfect, perfect God, the only God. And Lord, I submit myself to you. I submit myself to your love. I want to know you, Lord. That's it. There's really no special magic words. It's a heart change that happens in your life. Jesus, we need you. We need you, Lord. And for some of you who, you know, you've been in the light and then you've kind of gotten off track and you've gotten back, can I tell you right now, there is no condemnation. There is no condemnation. Come back into the light. Let's do this thing together. Come back into the light. Let's be persistent together. Let's race after the prize. Let's just keep doing it because of his love for us. If you've been hurt by other people, can I tell you today, he loves you. He loves you. Don't reject him. He loves you. Stay persistent. You might need some people in this building, in this community, to help you along the way as we help each other. Lord, help us. Help us be obedient and immediate with it, Lord. Help us be persistent. Help us to do it together. Not on our own. No lone rangers. Help us, Lord. Lord, we thank you again for what you did and what we're going to celebrate tomorrow and the day after. We We thank you for coming and saving us, Lord, for giving us a better design than what we had for ourselves. Oh, we were in a mess, Lord, and we need you. We thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for your light. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, listen, before you go, we do have a baby dedication again. We're going to start that up maybe in about 15 minutes. So if you would like to stay, please do so. If not, greet those around you, grab some coffee in the back, and hopefully we'll see you tomorrow night at 6 p.m. God bless you.